Yes, so a week or so before this happened, Jesus had been telling his disciples that he was going to leave them. And do you remember what he said? He said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled, because I'm going ahead to prepare rooms in my Father's house for you." Now, I often wish that I could see Jesus, the man in flesh, but I can't help thinking that it must have been really difficult to be his disciple, because he did say some things that you sort of wondered, how does that make sense? And they said, "How are we going to find the way? We don't know the way." And he says, "I am the way." Well, that's a difficult one to understand, isn't it? Even with our glorious 2020 hindsight, I find that one difficult. And also, in the verse just before this reading, he says, "Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." What does that mean? Well, I think that means what they've just seen here. Jesus goes up the mountain to pray, and suddenly there he is standing with Moses and Elijah, and they are glowing. They are in the realm of heaven. And the three disciples are looking on. Have you noticed how the disciples are always sleepy? But yeah, they wake up. Oh, wow. Now, why did Jesus go up the mountain to pray? Well, he quite often went up the mountain to pray, didn't he? And he sometimes took a couple of his disciples with him. So he's taken Peter, the ever faithful Peter. And he comes up the mountain. He knows he's got a really, really torrid time ahead of him. He knows he's going to be suffering almost insufferable physical pain on the cross, and also spiritual pain, because as he takes our sins upon himself, he's going to be separated from the Father. And that is almost unbearable. But he knows he has to do it. It's all mapped out. He knows exactly what's going to happen. So he goes up the mountain to be close to his Father. And then he meets with the two people in the realm of heaven who could probably understand what he's going to go through and give him some comfort. And that's Moses and Elijah. Just to comfort him and say, "It's all right, you can do this." We need that kind of encouragement on our road sometimes, don't we? And sometimes it's difficult to figure out who we can turn to, who could help us on our way. And I think the only two beings who could help Jesus on his way are Moses and Elijah. And so he talks through with them what he is about to undertake in Jerusalem, onto the cross, taking our sins. And Peter, of course, says, "Oh, this is fantastic. Can I just grasp the moment? Can I just keep this moment? I don't want Jesus to disappear. He tells us he's going away. We don't want him to go away. So if I could just keep him here, how do I do that? Oh, I can build some shelters for him and Elijah and Moses. That would be fantastic. Then he doesn't have to go through all this nonsense that he's been talking about." Well, thankfully for us, he did go through the nonsense, as I called it. He did go through the hardship. And poor old Peter gets derided for having suggested that he build some shelters for them. But there is actually something called the Festival of the Booths in Jewish history. And that is where they celebrate the grace that comes from God. And so Peter probably thinks, well, if I can do what we do at the Festival of the Booths, so put some booths up for them, then maybe we can just celebrate the grace without going through all the hardship. But we know it didn't work like that. In our glorious 2020 hindsight. And so the cloud comes across and God says, let me get the words right, This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him. I don't think that means just hear what he's saying. How often do we really listen to what somebody's saying? It's listen to him. Hear what he's saying. Be obedient. And take the action that he requires you to do. The disciples are going to go through quite a lot in the time that's coming. And they're going to have to take their guidance from Jesus. They're going to have to listen, really listen to what he has to say. Do we listen? Okay, he's not here to tell us what to do. And as I said, I really wish I could meet him in the flesh. But we do have his word, we have his teachings, and we have each other to help interpret those words and those teachings. And that way we can listen to what Jesus has to say to us. And we can do what he demands from us, what he wants us to do. And what is it that he wants us to do? Well, one of the things he wants us to do is to go out and show his love to the rest of the world, to the people around us, to be the face of Jesus to those that we meet. So isn't it odd that he says, that the last bit of it says, when the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at the time what they had seen. Well, that's a bit odd, isn't it? I mean, they told somebody, obviously, because it's in the Gospels. But if we read just, it's also in the Matthew and the Mark Gospel, but in Matthew chapter 17, verse 9, it says, as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. And in Mark it says, that's chapter 9, verses 9 and 10, as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them the orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead means. I told you, being a disciple of Jesus must have been really, really hard. So what he actually was saying is, don't tell anyone just yet. Don't tell anyone until I've risen. And then when I've risen, shout it from the mountaintops, because that is part of the witness that allows people to understand who Jesus is. So, have you all got your glow on? When you go out into the world, do you hide that glow? Do you put a veil over it? Or are you ready to go out and shout from the mountaintops that Jesus Christ is the Lord? Amen.